I'm always aware there's so many needs in the congregation. But I believe through the working of the Holy Spirit, whatever is sung, whatever is said, whatever is preached, God's able to address and to meet those needs. And so your heart's heavy this morning. You've got a real need. You keep listening, keep reaching. God is here to meet your need this morning. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? And I want to encourage you to come early and pray. Let's fill the prayer room up before service and pray that God would just move in a special way in the service tonight. And we begin gathering some come earlier, but at 5:30 in the prayer room to pray for the service. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to what he says, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings," blessed us with all spiritual blessings in high places in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to read one of those blessings. Before I do, I want to say this statement. I believe it's important. So many preachers and churches have made the gospel about material blessings today that we're missing out that pure delight and rejoicing over our spiritual blessings. Thank God for material blessings, but spiritual blessings are far more important. I want to tell you, God has done far more for us spiritually than he has materially. You can go to heaven poor, but you can go to heaven shouting because of the spiritual blessings that the you was kind of relieved when I said you go to heaven poor. That just helps a lot of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many's glad for spiritual blessings? Let me read one of those, just one. Verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The first spiritual blessing is he hath chosen us. Did you hear that? He hath chosen us. I hear all the time, I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I matter. He hath chosen us. Oh, hallelujah. What are you just thanking for? That's a spiritual blessing. Just thank him for it. Hallelujah. He hath chosen us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I want to preach this morning on chosen. Simply that, chosen. Can you be seated if you will? Or you can be seated if you will. I know you can, but hallelujah. I think every Christian ought to be kind to animals, but I have been sickened by the clamor over Cecil the lion. I'm sickened about it because what they're leaving out. What so many people have pointed out is so true, and that is there's been so much outrage over killing the Cecil of lion compared to the sale of body parts from aborted babies. Make that comparison. Our nation, America, protests, hollering, crying over the death of a lion, and they're selling body parts of aborted babies. I'm not making political statements. I'm using this as an illustration. But I tire of hearing the word pro-choice. Let me tell you why. Because that translates not, it does not translate, a woman is free to choose to keep the child. Pro-choice always translates the woman is free to take the life of the child. That's the way that's translated. Amen? In America, there's over 1 million abortions a year. So far in 2015, there has been 650,000 abortions, many of them late term. Did you know that that translates into about 3,000 abortions a day? I don't know how the business works on Sunday, but if this were a weekday, there would be 3,000 babies aborted today. And again, I want to point out, pro-choice never translates, I'm free to choose to keep my child. It translates, I'm free to abort my child. I have a question with that as an illustration. What if God were like these women who choose not to let their child live? What if God had the same frame of mind, this made the same choice? You see, to choose to have an abortion is to choose not to have the child. A choice for an abortion is a choice against the child. I don't know how it's going to be in heaven, the consciousness of heaven, but I believe that if an aborted child could talk, that aborted child would say, Mom didn't choose me. Right? I want to put a parenthesis here. God is a God of grace and mercy, and there are women's hearts who are heavy and bruised and wounded and have been either pressured or in sin or in different situations they have went through this. And I want to say to any that might be listening that are here, if that's the case, God is a forgiver. God is a healer. God's not put you on a second-rate list if you've come to Him. Amen. God has accepted you, and this message of chosen is for you as well this morning. Amen. I do believe God is that kind of God of mercy and grace. Amen. But I want to preach this morning like a woman considering an abortion, like she makes a choice. God made a choice too. And could I tell you, He chose us. I said He chose us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You could even say it this morning with upraised hand. God chose me. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Right? Oh, God chose me. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. I want to look at this verse briefly this morning. What does it mean to be chosen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, our text. It said He hath chosen us. What does it mean? Chosen. Amen. One of the worst things a parent can say to their child is to look at that child and say, you were an accident. You were intended to be. You were an accident. The travesty of teaching people that they're a product of evolution is that you have taught them that they are an accident of time plus chance plus chemistry. But I want to tell you this morning, there's not a human amongst the 7 billion. That is an accident. Hallelujah. They have been chosen of God. Amen. I want to tell us this morning in this house, every young person on up, we're no accident. We are the chosen of God. And beyond our natural birth, I want to tell you something. If you're born again, if you're saved, it was no accident. You were chosen of God. What does it mean to be chosen? He chose to create. God never had to choose to create humans. He could have chosen never to create us to begin with. But it's not just He chose to create, but He chose to redeem. He chose to save. We humans made a mess of things. We sinned. We rebelled against God. God could have chosen to obliterate us. God could have chosen to destroy us. God could have chosen to incinerate us. God could have chosen to put us immediately in hell. But could I say, thank God He didn't make that choice. God chose to redeem us. God chose to purchase us. God chose to save us. God chose to regenerate us. I'm talking about choice. What does it mean? He chose to save. He chose to send Jesus to die as a substitute for our sins. He chose not just to save us. He chose to make us His children, His people. Could I say it? He chose to make us His chosen. Hallelujah. He chose not only to save us and make us His children. He chose to invite us to His Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father. How can I sing that? Because He chose to invite us to His Father's house. He chose to spend eternity with us. Can you imagine? He chose to spend all eternity with us. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the choice of God. Amen. I know some things it doesn't mean. His choice was not arbitrary. Amen. What kind of woman, amen, would say, well, I choose to have this child, but I choose to abort the next child, and then I choose to have the next child, but I'll choose to abort the next one, the third or fourth one. I want to tell you, some people look at God that way, that's how God chooses, just arbitrarily, like he's up in heaven flipping a coin. Heads you go to heaven, tails you go to hell. Amen. God's up in heaven sitting on the throne and say, I choose to save this one. I choose to damn this one. I choose to send this one to heaven, and I choose to send this one to hell. Amen. That's not the way God makes choices. He tells us here in this verse, he doesn't choose by any, many, mighty, mo. How does he choose? Here it is in this verse. He hath chosen us in him, in Jesus. Everyone that comes to Jesus, everyone that's in Christ, hallelujah, he chose his son, Jesus. And if you're in Jesus, he chooses you. Oh, aren't you glad to be chosen this morning? Chosen because we're in the blood stained hands of the Savior, and being in him, we are chosen. Could you lift a hand and say, thank God he chose me. Hallelujah. Amen. His choosing is not arbitrary. And I'd also like to say, though I'm not going to dwell here, amen, a person can choose not to be chosen. You know, some folks have it. Amen. If God chooses him, he didn't have anything he can do about it. He's just chosen. Amen. But I want you to know, if God chooses you, you can choose not to be chosen. They also look at it. Amen. And if this person right here, amen, he chooses not to be chosen, God has never considered him. God has never chosen him. I want to tell you, that's not true. God chose every human the moment his son hung on that cross. He said, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. White and black, Chinese, Mexican, rich and poor. When he hung on the cross, he said, I choose you, 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 you. But we choose whether or not we allow ourselves to be chosen. He's chosen me. Am I going to be the chosen? I want to tell you, you can be the chosen. He's made his choice. You make yours and say yes to the choice of God. Amen. Who was it that chose? Who did the choosing? This little verse tells us that too. According as he hath chosen us. I'm not trying to be gruesome. I'm not trying to stir up political fervor, but let me give you one more illustration, because it's not a political issue, it's a moral issue. Abortion. But I want you to think of somebody growing up with a single mother and gets to a certain age, and this child learns the story. Mom's family, when she got expectant, put pressure on her to end the life of that child. A family member drove her to the clinic. She sat in the clinic filling out the forms, and a nurse kept encouraging her, it's okay, you're doing the right thing. But some moments before the door was opened to call her back to the back room where the deed is done, that mother, thinking in her heart, thinking in her mind, her hand on that child that's in her womb, suddenly rises from that chair in the clinic and says, no, I won't do it. Walks out the door, gives birth to that child. I want to tell you, when that child finds out that mother's decision, in spite of all the pressure, that child is going to say, Mom chose me. Oh, Mom chose me. Everybody was telling her end the life. Everybody was telling her it was okay. Everybody was telling her I was an inconvenience. I would ruin her career. But Mom chose me. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to feel that way. We were headed for certain destruction, and God could have rightfully destroyed us. Oh, Oh, but he chose us. I said he chose us. He chose to give us life and life more abundant. Amen. Who is it that does the choosing? It's God. I could preach here all day, but I'm only going to do for 10 seconds. Who chose us? He did. Mighty God. Holy God. All-sufficient God. He didn't need me, but he chose me. I said he didn't need me, but he chose me. He's the all-sufficient God. Could I tell you, the holy chose the unholy. I said the holy chose the unholy. The rich chose the poor. Hallelujah. The righteous chose the unrighteous. Almighty God chose fallen humanity. Oh, aren't you glad we've got a God like that? A God of grace and mercy who's not dealt with us according to our iniquities, but he chose to save us. What a God. Whom did he choose? Paul said, according as he hath chosen us. Paul didn't write and say to the Ephesians, now God chose me. I'm a Jew. Stock of Benjamin. Grew up knowing the law. Grew up against idolatry. Never worshipped an idol. Never visited a house of ill repute. Never stole. God's chosen me. Did Paul write that? Did Paul write? Well, he chose you, Ephesians. Forget the Colossians. Forget the Arab nomads. Ephesians, he's chosen you. Know what did he say? He's chosen us. See, at first we don't see what a tremendous thing that is. But when he used the word us, he immediately said Jew and Gentile. Race righteous and raised unrighteous, knowing the true God and raised not knowing the true God. When he put us, it was all inclusive. He was saying it doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter the way you were raised. It doesn't matter the home you came out of. Oh, hallelujah. I was a worshiper of the true God. He chose me. You Ephesians, you were the worshipers of idols, but he chose you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, oh, it'll change the way we look at things. Amen. Somebody raised in church, sitting there on the pew. Oh, God chose that one. But I want to tell you, next time you see a teenager walking the streets, their eyes already hollowed out from the use of drugs, they've known nothing else, come out of a home with every kind of unspeakable sin going on, raised without a knowledge of God, raised without a knowledge of good, when you see them walking the streets, you remember this word us. He chose me, but he chose them too. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's whosoever? Aren't you glad he died for whosoever? Hallelujah. I know some people's got their lives in a mess, but such were some of you, but you've been washed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad he didn't leave you? You see, I don't know how God could choose him. Well, I've got to look in the mirror and say that as well. I don't know how God could choose me, but thank God he included everyone. He chose us. Paul said, oh, hallelujah. That ought to cause something to well up within us. I'm chosen. And the thing that wells up is not arrogance. I'm the chosen. But it's a gratitude. And I mean no slam on this country. I'm just thinking back 20 or 30 years ago. It's a gratitude of an orphan stuck in a state institution in Romania. Been there for years of their life, and a couple walks in, and out of all the orphans there, this one's going home with that couple. Think of what that orphan feels in their heart. Hallelujah. That's the way we ought to feel. We were orphans too. Amen. Make no mistake. We were in bad. Oh, how many feels that gratitude? I've been chosen. I'm not preaching fantasy. I'm preaching the gospel. He hath chosen us. I want to make a clear point before I move on. We did not choose God. He chose us. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring much forth much fruit." Hallelujah. Those disciples could have felt a little arrogance. We're some of the disciples. We go with the Lord everywhere. Amen. "I made a good choice," Peter said. I chose Jesus. No, you chose to be chosen. But Jesus did the choosing. Jesus chose you. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know folks have to make a decision. Amen. But you're not making a decision about whether you're going to accept God or not. No, sir. Amen. He made the decision to accept you, and you just choose whether or not you're going to allow yourself to be chosen. It's not up to you. You can say yes or you can say no, but you can't get away from the fact that he does the choosing. It's all good nature. But I've been around a husband and a wife, been married a few years to make it safe. Amen. But they'll be in a company in a social setting, and they'll get in this little good nature discussion of who started chasing whom. And she'll say, "Oh, he just kept chasing me." And he'll say, no, it wasn't me chasing you. It was you chasing me. Have you ever seen that? And they kind of get, you know. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's make this clear. Let's make this clear. God was in the one in pursuit of us. He's the one that came looking for us. He chose to save us. We just chose to say yes. We chose to be chosen. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How many's glad you said yes when he said, "I choose you. I choose you." He could have ended it for us, yet he chose us. Amen. There ought to be a joy in our heart this morning. I've been chosen of God. Peter's another apostle, but he saw it too. Peter said, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar." That doesn't mean odd, that means special, because you've been chosen that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Can you say, "I'm in that number this morning? I'm in that number. I'm in that verse. I'm the chosen generation." Why? Because he called me out of darkness. That's how he made the choice. That's how you heard the choice. He said, "Come out of darkness." Then, when did he choose? When did he choose us? Well, you say, it must have been the day I got saved. He came by with the Spirit, and he dealt with me. That's when he chose me, not what the verse says. Well, maybe it was when I was born. He chose me then. No. When did he choose us? Go ahead and read it for me, somebody. When did he choose us? Foundation's the first thing you put in a building. So if it's before the foundation, it's before anything was built, anything was constructed. When did he choose us? Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we allow this thing to get too shallow. This is deep. This thing of God saving us is deep. Amen. I appreciate the song when I was a teenager, and he was on the cross. I was on his mind. But it started a long time before that. Before there was a star twinkling in the sky. Before there was one flower that ever bloomed, before there was a planet called Earth or a star called the sun, already I was on his mind. No wonder the psalmist said, "His thoughts toward me are more than can be numbered." And here you're sitting here this morning, the devil's intimidated you, made you feel like trash, made you feel like nobody cares, you don't fit in, nothing matters about you. I'm telling you, he's a lion to you. Before the foundation of the world, God said, "I'm going to save that one." I choose that one. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. What a God. I said, what a God. Amen. Bring him out of that little box we put him in. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. Oh, how inscrutable are His ways. Unimaginable. God chose us not just before we were born, but before He created humans, before there was a planet called Earth to put us on, and before there was even a sky, much less a star in the sky. I know that boggles our minds when we think about it, because if you think about it, that means He created us knowing that one day we would sin. He created us knowing one day we would rebel. He created us knowing that one day we would turn our back upon Him. He chose us knowing we would sin. I'm talking about us right in this building. He chose us knowing we would come short of the glory of God and be anything but perfect. Yet He chose us. I said He chose us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what this tells us this morning. Could you hear me? Could you just stay right here just a few more seconds? If He chose us before the foundation of the earth, that means salvation was not plan B. I said Jesus dying on the cross was not plan B. It was plan A. He knew we would sin. He knew we would fall short. But before He ever created us, He knew it would cost the death of His Son. Oh, hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? Man sinning, your sinning, my sinning did not catch God by surprise. God didn't create man. And then when Adam sinned, God began to wring His hands and say, oh no, what am I going to do? Adam sinned. What am I going to do? What am I going to come up with? How are we going to proceed from here? Adam blew it. Adam sinned. Hallelujah. God was never surprised. He knew Adam would sin. Amen. He knew that when He created humans, that one day He'd have to send Jesus, His Son, to die for them. And Jesus, when He was involved in that creating of humans, knew that one day He was going to have to say, yes, I'll go to earth. Yes, I'll become human. Yes, I'll suffer. Amen. They knew it before they created the first Adam. Oh, but He created us anyway. We're chosen. I said we're chosen. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? God had it all worked out long before you and I were born. He had your life worked out. He had your salvation worked out. He had the way He's going to get you to heaven worked out before you were even born. So why should we worry about tomorrow? Is tomorrow bothering anyone? Why should you worry about tomorrow? God already had your salvation worked out for the foundation. Let's not leave that in the mystic theory. Let's bring it down today. God has chosen, and I believe He's chosen you. And this morning, He has your salvation worked out. This morning, if you'll say yes to the gospel, this morning He'll change your life. He's got it worked out. He's got it worked out. No accidents. Amen. Why did He choose? Last question. Why did He choose us? Here it is. He had chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When I ask the question, why did God choose us? I don't mean in the sense of what motivated Him or caused Him to choose us. I've told you it's not arbitrary. I don't know if I can give you a good explanation to say, except to say the only explanation for grace is God is gracious. And the only explanation for love is that God is love. I don't think I can untangle all of that I've even preached and tell you why God would mess with me. Why God would choose me other than He's the God of love and mercy. It's just who He is. That makes it more significant that He does what He does. Because it's no act. It's not just a performance. It's who He is. He chose us. Out of grace and love. But when I say why did He choose us, I'm talking about for what purpose, to what end, for what goal did He choose us? Some folks will have said He chose us to take us to heaven. Well, that might be a part of His plan, but could I tell you from this one verse alone, God did not choose us just to take us to heaven. One of the biggest lies being preached today is that God saves us just so we can go to heaven. That's not true. Why did God choose us? I don't have time to deal with all this, so let me just put it into words of the Scripture. He chose us to live holy and to live in love. That's what He chose us for. Yes, that involves salvation. Yes, it involves going to heaven. But for right now, He chose us on this planet so that we would be the people who would live holy without blame, but to live with love. I heard a radio program yesterday, and the commentator, though it was on a news program, he made a good point. He said the reason America's in the mess it's in is because there's all these Americans claiming to be Christians going to church, but when they leave the church house, they don't live like Christians. And this caller called in with this new theology. You know, they think it sounds really good. And he immediately, the caller said two things. He said, first of all, he said, you're judging. Told the host this. He said, you're judging. We're not supposed to judge. He said, secondly, you're saying that when people leave church, they ought to live good. But he said, you're forgetting that humans are so messed up. They're so flawed. Jesus had to come and die because we can't live right. Well, he's got something right. We can't get it right. We cannot save ourselves. But I want to tell you, if He really saves us, He does such a work, He does make such a change that He gives us the ability, He changes the desires and the intent of our heart, and so that we do begin to live right. That's how great His work is. Amen. And He does such a work. We are saved by grace plus and minus nothing. No one can work enough to be saved. But I'm telling you, when He chooses us and He saves us, He does such a work that He puts in our heart a righteousness and a holiness and a love. Hallelujah. Why did He choose us, brother? He chose us so we'd live holy. Not on Sunday morning, but through the week. I know school's starting up. I hate to remind you of that. I'm sorry. He chose you to live holy at school. He chose us to be holy at work. Holy in the home. In love. Can't do one without the other. Those aren't two different things we do at the same time. If you really got the holy, you got the love. If you really got the love, you got the holy. For this purpose, He created us. Aren't you glad Jesus makes a change? Brother Leitner used to always say, and I've quoted him many times, but just in honor, let me quote it this morning. He said, if there is no difference, then there is no difference. Right? But oh, what a change in my life. In my heart, since Jesus has come. He's chosen us to live righteous. He didn't just throw us the rescue ring when we were drowning and leave us in the water. He pulled the rope on the rescue ring and pulled us out of the water. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He didn't just keep the house from burning down. He restores the house. Hallelujah. And God didn't just save us from sin and leave us. He saved us to restore us to the way He created us in holiness and in love. Hallelujah. I'm going to close by saying this as the music comes. There's something about being chosen. And that is, the world's going to hate you. To be chosen of God is to, if I can make up a word, is to be dischosen by the world. Amen. And Jesus said, if they have hated me, they will hate you also. I'm not looking for a fight. Everybody hear that? I'm not looking for a fight. But I tell you, you know this already. I'm affirming what you know. More and more in the days ahead, true Christians, true followers of the Lord, those who believe that we should live holy without blame before, they are going to be the scapegoat. They're going to be the target. There's going to be a growing animosity and hatred. So I just want to say this. I just found that monitor. I told you we must have lost. I tripped on it. I want to tell you, when you begin to feel that animosity, you begin to feel that, maybe it'll be at school this year because you're trying to live right. Even those that's supposed to be Christians, you'll feel that animosity. When you feel that animosity, don't let it get you down. Say, the world may hate me, but I'm chosen of God. Again, not arrogance, but gratitude. I'm chosen of God. They're making fun of me because I want to live right and do right. Oh, but I'm not trying to earn salvation. I'm living this way because I'm chosen of God. I'm one of the chosen. Hallelujah. Anybody here one of the chosen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know if you, let me try to illustrate everything in one, or say everything in one illustration. I don't know how many saw that clip. It kind of went viral, but that young man, he thought he really had his girlfriend snagged, you know, really had the hook in her jaw. So he decides it's time to ask her to marry him. And I don't know whether he was a player, commentator, I don't know what. But some reason he had access to the ball field and to the microphone. So I don't know all that. All I know is before the eyes of the nation on television, he gets her out there, gets down on one knee or whatever, and he has the ring, and he looks at her, and he says, "Will you marry me?" You know what he was saying? "I choose you." That's what he was saying. "Will you marry me?" It was an awful thing. She looked at that. You've never seen such a look on the face. There was no interest in that in her at all. And she got this look on her face of disgust. I can't remember. She just said no, but she whirled around, walked off that field in the eyes of everybody. And I thought, you know, I mean, he should have anticipated something like that, but I thought, poor guy. What must that feel like? He made his choice, but she didn't want to be chosen. Did you know I've seen the same thing in the many years that I've shared the gospel? Are you hearing me? I've seen some that have sat all their life on a pew. I've seen that moment. God was saying, "I choose you." He's getting the message. I've seen those that just walked in. I had no history with them, but I just knew they needed God. And God so orchestrated the service that everything in the service, every song, the message was saying to that person, God was saying to that person, "I choose you. I choose you." But I've seen him do the same thing that young lady did. "I don't want to be chosen." He's chosen us. Will you choose to be chosen? Could you stand across the building? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Could the chosen praise him? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's not a dread thing. It's not a negative thing. You're here this morning. You're not surrendered to Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not a dreadful thing. "Well, he's trying to choose me this morning." No, 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 no. It ought to be this joyful thing in your heart. "I get it. He's chosen me. I get the cross. He has chosen me." And if you've not yet surrendered to him, there ought to be something in your heart that says, "He's chosen me this morning. I choose to be chosen. I choose to be chosen. I give my heart to him. I give my life to him. I give my past to him. I give my sins to him. I give my future to him. I choose to be I say yes." Oh, what a different story in the little illustration I just gave. If that lady had said, "Yes, yes, I choose to be chosen." Are you here this morning? You want to just come to these steps we use as an altar and say, "I've not yet given myself to the Lord, but I recognize this morning he's chosen me, and this is the morning I choose to be chosen." Would you come right now? Saints, I want you to pray across the building. You'd come right now and say, "I choose to be chosen." Hallelujah. He's choosing me. I choose to say yes. Would you like to come? Oh, hallelujah. He had it worked out before he built this earth. He is thinking of you. He was thinking of this morning. Hallelujah. Would you let him choose you? Hallelujah. Are you here? You let him choose you. Would you come right now? Folks will be here to pray with you. Here at the altar. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's open. That's open. But I would like everyone that would, you say, "I'm so glad that he chose me. He chose me." Amen. If you're thankful, would you come kneel and give him thanks this morning for having chosen you? And as God's people are coming, amen. If you need to allow him to choose you, would you come right now and say, "Lord, I give you my everything. I say yes." Hallelujah. Oh, would you come, chosen of God? Oh, what a thought. Oh, what a thought. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. 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 I'm the chosen of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He hath chosen us. He hath chosen us. You can personalize it. He hath chosen me. He hath chosen me. How do you know it, Pastor? Because of the cross. He hath chosen me. He hath chosen you. Oh, God, touch these that are seeking you this morning. Help them to accept your word. Church, thank you for coming and praying. But as you pray, just marvel over that. Just marvel. He hath chosen me before the foundation of the world. Thank God he chose me so I could go to heaven. But he chose me to live holy and without blame before him in love. Hallelujah. He hath chosen me. Whatever's against me, whatever enemies I have in my life, whatever hard things are coming my way, I am the chosen of God. Hallelujah. I'm the elect of God. Hallelujah. I'm one of his. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm his child by his choice. Hallelujah. I'm his servant by his choice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, just like you, I want to be tender with mercy.
He chose me.
All I do, so when others talk about me, let it be because I am different.
Oh, hallelujah.
I wanna be chosen.